I just want to talk to you today. You know, we all live in the real world, right? Well, I guess some people live in a virtual reality world, but that's not real world. I mean, as much as you want to live in some other world, you actually live in the real world. And we all face real world problems. You know, and it just seems that as I listen to the news and read social media, you know, a lot of people are very up in arms about a lot of things, especially our economy. I actually just heard about an individual that bought $30,000 worth of food because, you know, the food shortage is coming. And so my wife's like, well, Craig, we need to buy extra food. And I said, why? I'll just go to their house and pick up them and their food. They're by themselves. They have, I mean, you know, they got plenty for to share. I know I was at a thing yesterday. They're saying we need to start growing our own food if we want to eat. Whenever you hear all these issues and all these things, people actually get overwhelmed. And a lot of people get overwhelmed. A lot of people are trying to figure out, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, I don't see an answer for this economy. I don't see things changing very quickly. What are you going to do? Well, my message entitled today is, what does the word say? What does the word say? Because every time I ever asked my grandfather a question, a spiritual question, his answer was always, what does the word say? You know, he never gave his opinion. He would always give scripture. And usually, actually, he would not actually, a lot of times, even quote the scripture himself. He made me give him the scripture, you know, because what does the word say? So whenever we're facing trials and all kinds of issues, you know, instead of getting upset about it, we need to figure out what the word says about it. Now, first of all, the scripture that I read quite frequently, and the reason I do this is about 20 years ago, I know it seems like a long time ago, but 20 years ago, I was doing prayer and healing school quite a bit, and the Lord really told me that we need to understand what John 10:10 really means. That there is a devil out there, all right, and the devil is a bad dude, kind of like Corn Pop, actually worse than Corn Pop. He's a bad dude, all right? And the New Living Translation of John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. So we need to realize that the devil has one purpose only in life, and that's to mess yours up. Now, I want to reiterate that Jesus told his disciples this 2,000 years ago. And some people have forgotten about it. They think, well, you know what? Once I get saved, the devil cannot attack me. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. Now, if you think about this, it doesn't make any sense to even think like that, because going back to the beginning in Genesis, the Garden of Eden was the closest thing to heaven on the earth. And the devil was still there. And the devil was still on the attack. And the devil was still there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. All right? So don't tell me that he's not going to be out to destroy you, because Jesus said otherwise. Said his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But it goes on to say, see, that's not the end of the story. A lot of people are looking at what the devil's doing and they're complaining about it, and they forget that there is an answer. There is an answer. In fact, we even sing the song sometimes. Well, used to. I guess it's an old song because nobody sings anymore. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Anyone ever sung that song? You know what? You need to sing that song when everything is going terrible, when it seems like there is no way out. Why don't you remember the songs that you used to sing? Because if Jesus is the answer, you really don't have a problem. You only have a problem when you don't have the answer to solve the problem. You know, if you already know the answer, there is no problem. See, a lot of you are walking around with no problems, but you have problems. I mean, you know, it's really kind of foolish to have the answer and still have problems. You're either going to have an answer or you're going to have problems. You're not going to have both. But, you know, You know, the devil has a purpose to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has a purpose. He says, my purpose is to give them, or to give you, a rich and satisfying life. Now, you know what? They always tell us that we should find out our purpose in life. All right? So you can either find out the devil's purpose for you in life, or God's purpose for you in life. I choose to have God's purpose. Jesus says that one of the reasons he came to this earth was to give me a rich and satisfying life. All right, so instead of complaining about how unsatisfying it is and how everything is terrible, I'm going to start confessing what the Bible says. What does the word say? The word says that Jesus Christ came here to give me a rich and satisfying life. You know, really the theme of the New Testament is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. I mean, that's what he gave us Jesus, and he wants us to have a rich and satisfying life. And you know what? You're going to have to choose to have the rich and satisfying life. It kind of goes back to Deuteronomy that I've set before you, you know, blessings and cursings, life and death. But choose life, but you can still choose death. I mean, you know, we have a choice, and the choice is we're going to have to understand what Jesus' purpose in our life is. And his purpose is for us to have a rich and satisfying life. And if you're not having one, you should start having one. Now, I'm going to tell you that the devil is a mean dude. And, you know, even the other day, I was having a normal day. I was pulling in the Walmart parking lot, which is not abnormal for me in a lot of days. And I'm going to tell you, all of a sudden, you know, and it has nothing to do with gas prices, nothing to do with it. Just, I mean, a lot of things going on in life, and I was getting a little bit overwhelmed. And the spirit of depression tried to get on me. Now, I mean, I started feeling like weird. I'm like, I haven't felt like that in a long time. Why am I feeling like that? And so the whole time I was at Walmart, I began to tell myself what the word says. And I'm going to tell you some of the same scriptures that I told myself. And these are some scriptures that you probably all know, but they're scriptures that you need to be dwelling upon daily because they're good. You know, they're good scriptures and they're a help. So what does the word say? And so the Lord led me back, to one of my favorite verses or favorite chapters is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is the fourth chapter. I really like Philippians quite a bit. And, you know, I think about this many times. I was, one of my favorite things that I've got to do in life was when I was in Greece, Spiros, who's over Raymond Greece, he might be watching right now. He watches us quite a bit. He took me to Philippi. And I was able to see the area where Paul and Silas were there in prison at midnight. You know, and it all hit me. You know, when he was in Philippi, this was, you know, the start of his ministry. And if he would have died in that jail, he would have never wrote all the New Testament scriptures that we quote daily. You know, and it just remembers, hey, you know what? If we give up, think about the things that won't be done if we give up. Think about the scriptures that Paul wouldn't have written if he gave up. But Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse number 4, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it starts out to say, always be full of joy in the Lord. Okay, now here's the thing. You can't be depressed if you're always full of joy in the Lord. So you're going to have to either choose to be depressed or choose to be full of joy in the Lord. You know, it's just, it's your choice. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. See, rejoice is a compound word meaning have more joy again. All right, it's rejoice. So if you are having a bad day, decide not to have one. Decide, you know what? Let's put things in perspective. I have the answer. I have the answer. I mean, so you know, do you realize that man came from dirt? Man came from dirt. All right, and I mean, do you know how? I mean, I know a lot of us don't know biology because it was obviously we found that out the other day. But if you study biology, study all the cells and all the things. I mean, think about a bunch of dirt created that. Now, it wasn't dirt. It was God created that. And the same God that created you is the same God that's going to get you through any kind of situation, even if you're paying more at the gas pump, even if you're paying more at the grocery store. You know, it doesn't matter what the world's economy does. What matters is whose report are you going to believe? You know, when you put things in perspective in life, it doesn't matter. God will get you through it if you believe. Now, it says to always rejoice. And so I found out it's hard to rejoice. And you can't rejoice and be depressed. You can't. So, you know, in order to be a doer of the word, and not just a hearers only, in order to be a doer of Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. You know, going back even to the Old Testament, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what? Decide you're going to be happy. You know, I see people say stuff like, well, I hate my life. Well, that's not being happy. If you hate your life, then change your life. You know, and here's the thing. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have no reason to be upset. Now, obviously, if you don't know Jesus, then you have an issue. But if you know Jesus, and we have the Word of God, I mean, you know, the reason the Word of God is here is for us today. And the Word is still the same 2,000 years ago. It's so amazing. Anyway, it goes on to say, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And then here's what I want to get to. Verse 6, New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Now, I'm going to read it again. Don't worry about anything. So I'm here to tell you, if you're worried about something, you're not being a doer of God's word. You know, because I people say, well, I'm worried they're going to run out of food. I'm worried this, I'm worried that. You know what? Don't worry about anything. Yeah, but I don't have the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Yeah, but see, get your butt out of the way and quit worrying. It's just that simple. You know, all right. Now, what should we do? Instead of worrying, we have directions on what to do. Whenever you have an opportunity to have worry, instead of having worry, Philippians 4 says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. All right. And, you know, while I'm here, at that point in time, I want to skip over to Ephesians 6:12. All right? It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. See, the thing about it is that a lot of people are trying to blame people and, you know, for our troubles. It's not about people. It's about El Diablo, the devil. I mean, you can get mad at all the politicians and all the people in charge and whatever, and that's not going to help. I mean, you know, if it's not going to help to get mad at your gas pump when your gas prices are higher. It's not going to get help to, well, I was going to say to get mad at your cashier at Walmart, but you're probably your own cashier at Walmart because now you check your own groceries out. So I guess you got to get mad at yourself. But the thing about it is, it's not about a person. It's about the devil. So you know what? It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Now, it tells us how to pray. Right here, Philippians 4 tells us how to pray. This is pretty hard. Tell God what you need. Okay, instead of griping gas prices or more, tell, hey God, I need more money to pay for gas. I need more money to pay for groceries. I mean, it simply says, tell God what you need. It doesn't say, gripe about what you need. See, remember, our message is, what does the word say? The word says, tell God what you need. That's pretty clear. What do you need? First of all, figure out what you need and tell God what you need. And you know, like, well, I don't know how it's going to happen. Well, I don't know how you were made from dirt either. I don't get it. So, you know what? What's a few extra $1,000 that God has to provide to help you through a situation? It's easier than dirt. I mean, you know. Anyway, it says, tell God what you need. And the next thing we should do is thank him for all he's done. You know what? God, this is what I need. I mean, things are not really good right now, but this is what I need. But I want to thank you, first of all, for what you've done. And I want to also thank you in advance for providing for me. You know, it's funny because right now I don't see a lot of people watching the old El Shaddai video. El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Man, decide to pump yourself up. Decide to figure out, you know, how good God is. See, I haven't forgot about the first of the year scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly abundantly, more than I can ask or think. That's what God wants to bless me with. And it doesn't matter. I'm not moved by economy prices. I'm not moved by what's going on in the world, because you know what? My God is able to take care of me, and you know, I know it. I'm not concerned whether he can or not. You know, but here's the thing. He's not going to do anything unless we tell him what we need. Unless we ask him. We have not because we ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. It's just that simple. Because I'm really tired, actually, you know, checking out social media and everyone griping about everything. You know? God is good. See, you know, normally say God is good all the time. All the time God is good, and he is. So quit griping. God is good. All right. I say, tell him what you need. Thank him for all he's done. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that it says that once you tell him what you need and thank him for what he's done, then you will have peace. It doesn't say you're going to have peace after he meets your need. See, some people are waiting for their need to be met to have peace. You should have peace when you're watching God work miracles in your life. You know, it's you got to have peace. You know, it's okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. That's what God's word says. God's word says you're going to make it. It's, you know, it's going to be okay. Now, let me tell you a story. A couple of years ago, well, it's probably been like 10 years ago now, you know, because I've slept a couple times since then. One of our Raymond graduates, he was here for Winter Bible Seminar, and he had recently taken over as a pastor of a church that the main pastor started the church, been there for a long time, and decided to turn it over to a younger minister. A lot of people didn't like it, you know, because they weren't used to this younger minister and they didn't like transition or that kind of stuff. Anyway, so I asked this gentleman, I said, hey, how's things going at the church? And he actually says, Craig, honestly, not that well. He says, you know, I actually, some people quit coming. Our finances went down. I had, you know, it's just me on staff now. I had to get rid of some of my extra staff and things like that. And it's not going that well. So I looked at him and I said these words. It's going to be okay. That's all I said. Now, I didn't, you know, come up with, thus saith the Lord, it's going to be okay. This wasn't a prophecy. This was just telling what the Bible says. I said, it's going to be okay. Do you realize that man stood on the words that I gave him? It's going to be okay. The next time I saw him, I asked him. Well, actually, he told me. I didn't have to go ask him. He says, you know what? I stood on those words that you gave me. And I'm here to tell you that he told me exactly what happened in his church finances. And he says, not only was I able to hire back all my staff, but we were able to pay the building off and everything is going great now. Now, do you know why everything was going great? Because he stood on the words that I told him. He said, every day I just confess what you said. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It wasn't, thus saith the Lord, it's going to be okay. I was just telling him what the Bible says. It's going to be okay. So what I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. You are going to make it. Even when you can't figure out how it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Stand on those words. Instead of getting upset, you know, stand on those words. Another one of scriptures I love in Philippians is Philippians 4:13, which is my mom's favorite scripture. And she quotes it a lot. It says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. See, there's nothing you can't do. You can do everything. Everything that you need to do, you can do it. All right? Then Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me, this is Paul talking, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. So, you know, the New King James says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Notice he didn't say half your needs. He says all your needs. You know, and the same God that Paul served is the same God that we serve. And so we need to expect him to supply all our needs. You realize if our needs go up, he's still supplying? You know, there are people that are more needy today than they were, you know, last year. You know, and it's very, you know, we see it. We've seen a lot of increase in the we care. People come in needing help. But if you have more needs, he's going to meet those too. Do you realize that our God is not limited? He's an unlimited God. He's not limited to, you know, pre-inflation rates. My God shall meet. Now, shall means my God is meeting all of my needs. I mean, you can just quote the scripture for yourself. My God is meeting all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's just that simple. What does the word say? The word says that my God is meeting all my needs. Yeah, but you have more needs. I don't care. I have more God. We sing another song. My God is big enough. My God is strong enough. I mean, you know, we serve a big God. He's bigger than the economy. It's, you know, I get it. You know, and I'm not getting on to anyone for being upset. I'm just saying that we need to start reading the word for ourselves. And not only should we read the word, we should be a doer of God's word. We should act upon the word. We shouldn't worry about anything, but we should pray about everything. We should have joy all the time. You know, because it's depressing to be depressed. It is. And it's depressing to hang around people that are depressed. And the other side about it is, you know, we're depressed because we don't realize who lives on the inside of us. The greater one lives on the inside of us. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. I mean, it's just that simple. Anyway, 1 Peter 5:7. All right. If you do have any worries or cares, it tells us what to do with them. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Okay, so the Bible says if there's something you're worried about or something you're caring about, you need to give it to God. It's that simple. Now, the King James or New King James says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Anyone read that? Anybody ever went fishing? See, the problem is when you read, you know, maybe that's why you should read this translation, give all your worries, cares, instead of reading the word cast. Because if you ever gone fishing, you know, if you ever cast your rod, you cast it. And then what do? You reel it back in. That's the problem. You can't reel it back in. You're trying to do what you've always done. You're saying, here, God, here's my cares. Okay, God, I'm taking them back. Well, because if you have cares, then you have to worry. I mean, you know, it's just that simple. So the deal is quit casting and just throw them at God. Say, God, here they are. I mean, I used to remember a couple of times I had the great opportunity when my parents would leave me there. No, I'm just kidding. There are some times that our parents would leave us with our grandparents in Dallas, Texas. My grandfather pastored Southside Assembly of God. And, you know, normally we weren't there a couple weeks, but I remember one time at one thing, we were there for 2 Sundays in a row. And you have to understand, every Sunday night, it was tradition at that church that everybody came to the altar at the end and they'd all begin to pray and whatever. You know, when you're a little kid, you don't really, you know, I mean, how long can you pray? Not very long. So I would always listen. I noticed that those 2 Sunday nights I was there, the same, because I was in the same area, and you know, you understand, traditional churches, they all, everyone goes to the same area. So same people were there, and I noticed that they prayed for the, they prayed about the same thing. See, they cast their cares upon the Lord the week before, and then before they walked out the door, they make sure they gathered them back up so they can have something to care about next week. And, you know, I know we joke about that, but that's what we do sometimes. If we've really given our worries to God, we're not worried about it. See, if you can't sleep because you're worried about something, you haven't given your cares and worries to God. So what you need to do is the next time you cast, make sure you get real far. And then throw away your rod. Give it to God and said, now don't do that with a real expensive, you know, fishing rod whenever you're fishing. All right, that's a different story. All right, but I'm talking about when you're giving God your cares and your worries, just give it to God, just give it up. Say, you know what, God, I'm tired of reeling this stuff back in because it's bothering me. So I'm just going to get rid of it now. I'm going to give them to you. Do you realize when you give something to somebody, they're no longer yours? So you realize if you give God your worries and your cares, then you shouldn't be caring about that, because that's when God should take over and care about your worries and cares. And that's why you should be able to sleep soundly like a baby. Because you have nothing to care about. And if the devil tries to knock on your door and telling you you should care about something, you say, uh-uh, I've already given those cares to God. You'll bother him. Go bother him. He's the one caring about those now. I'm done caring. See, actually, I actually developed this back in the 90s. I walked into work one day, talked to my secretary, and told her I have now developed an I don't care attitude. Well, because I'm just going to tell you, at that point in time, man, I was high, I don't know, just high, I mean, I was tightly wound, and all of a sudden, one day I was praying, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to have a heart attack before I'm 30 years of age if I keep this high. So I just decided one day to come in and tell my secretary I have a don't care attitude. It didn't matter what she said, you know, she would always give me bad news about something going on in one of her apartments, and I'm like, I don't care. Now, I cared, but I don't care. You understand? I care about it, but I wasn't going to let it bother me, because if it bothered me, then it was bothering me. I don't want to be bothered. So I developed an I don't care attitude. And see, I decided to develop that. And once I develop an I don't care attitude, people are like, Craig, you don't care about anything. No, because I give it to God. I do care, but you know what? What am I going to do about it? I don't even have the capacity to figure it out anyway, so I might as well give it to him and let him care, because he can do it. Now, it goes on to say in verse number 8, 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So you know what? Other people in the world are going through some same kind of situations. But don't let the devil devour you. He's seeking who he may devour. Say, you can't touch me. You know, kind of like the MC Hammer song, no, can't touch this. He can't touch you. Why can't he touch you? Because you've already given all your cares and all your worries to God, and you're carefree. If you have an issue, devil, you go talk to God about it. I'm done with that stuff. I'm done. Decide, you know what? It's not going to matter. I'm going to get through this. No matter what. All right. A few more scriptures. And I mean, you know, these, I'm sure you know all these scriptures, but we're looking about what the word says. James 1:2, New Living says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. An opportunity for great joy. It says, you know, it doesn't say it will be great joy. It's an opportunity for you to have God, have joy in your life. So instead of getting mad about it, get glad about it. I think that's a commercial from Glad Trash Bags, but that's okay. I mean, you know, reminds me of another song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. You know, so basically, when you're going through a lot of stuff, be joyful. Now, the reason you're being joyful is in spite of what's going on, you can still have joy. In spite of your trials and tribulations and all these kind of things, you know, it doesn't matter. Be joyful anyhow. I mean, you know, just be happy about it. You know, like, so you get bad news. So what? Don't let it get you down. Why does it matter? You know, I have other things to worry about. Really, I shouldn't worry about anything. The Bible says not to worry about anything. It's what it says. Now, only one time in my life did I ever hear my grandfather tell me he's worried about anything. And as soon as he did, he corrected it. And it taught me something. You know, sometimes we all slip up. Sometimes, you know, we all let worry try to come in. And so we were, I can tell you exactly where we were. I think it was the Hyatt Hotel, but it was in Indianapolis, Indiana, right next to the Hoosier Dome. We were doing a meeting there, not in the Hoosier Dome, but in the convention center, one of the auditoriums there. Had about 2,000 people there. And it was something else that was kind of interesting is one of the first auditoriums, a lot of auditoriums at that time, you know, whenever we were open to have meetings, they didn't serve food, but they had popcorn there because I saw people coming in with popcorn. In fact, I had to call maintenance to clean the popcorn, but nothing to do with that. So we were sitting there, lunchtime, day before the meeting. We're going to start the next night. My grandmother didn't come on that meeting. In fact, I believe it was the only meeting that I ever did that my grandfather came and my grandmother didn't. She was going through some physical challenges, and I remember we were sitting there. I had a bowl of soup at the restaurant, sitting there, and my grandfather says these words. He says, Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother. And I mean, I was, you know, eating my bowls, and I looked up, like, that's the first time I ever heard him say, I'm worried about anything. And as soon as I looked up at him, he actually looked at me, he says, no, I take that back, I'm not worried. Then he says, but I am concerned. But I'm not worried about it, because I know God's in control. And he goes on to tell me some things that that he knows that my grandmother needed to do for herself in order to get her healing, and she did. Now, interesting part about it is, you know, like I said, my sister talked about teachable moments. That was a teachable moment in my life where I saw my grandfather actually, the first time in my entire life, use the word worry. And when he did, immediately, see what happened is immediately, I know what happened to him. Immediately on the inside, something checked him. Says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Don't worry. See, that's what should happen to you. And, you know, if you ever go through a situation where you are tempted to worry, all of a sudden some buzzer, some, you know, should be going off on the inside, saying, quit worrying, quit worrying, quit worrying. Just have joy. Just have joy. It'll be okay. You're going to make it. I'm going to supply all your needs. I'm supplying your healing. It's going to be okay. Don't worry, be happy. Now, see, that's the thing. What I'm here to tell you is we're all going to have opportunities to worry. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you might have an opportunity as soon as you walk off out of this church building. But you need to choose to take the opportunity or not. It's your choice. You can worry or you cannot worry. You can be, so my grandfather said he was concerned, but then really he says, I'm not concerned because you know what? It's really up to her. You know, it's going to be okay. No matter what's going on with our economy, even when it doesn't look it's building back better, I know my God. My God is meeting all my needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm going to leave you off with the scripture. If I've ever signed your Bible, ever signed a book, ever signed anything, this is my keynote scripture in life. Mark 11:22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Drop the mic. That's my answer to everything. When it looks like there is no way to make it, when it looks like that I'm not going to be able to afford everything, when it looks like that things are bringing me down, I'm going to have faith in God. Because here's the thing, if God can't take care of it, nobody can. Nobody can. Have faith in God. And I don't know how many times I've actually been going through situations and I just had to remember that scripture. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Only believe. You know, instead of talking about how bad it is, talk about how good your God is. Talk about how awesome it is. Talk about how he's meeting all your needs. We serve an awesome God. We're going to make it. The word says we are. What does the word say? Every time you face situations in life, go to the word, find out what it says. See, my grandfather always would say, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I just read you a number of scriptures today that should encourage you, that should help you, you know, and so don't go out of this service and get on social media and talk about how bad the economy is and how you never have any money to make it. Talk about how good God is. I mean, think of how social media would change if we would just talk about how good God is every day. Man, our God is able. Our God is meeting all our needs. God is so good. So, you don't have a problem, guys. You have the answer. and you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. It's only temporary. You're going to get through this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's not only in this room, but each and every person that's watching us online. And Father God, we just thank you that today, that this little message today, what does the word say, has encouraged us, has helped us not to get so distraught about what's going on in the world, because you know what? The devil is the god of this world. He's trying to destroy us, but help us, encourage us to know that God is still God, and God will get us through every situation. So help us not to worry or be concerned, but help us to understand that we serve the God that's more than enough. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we thank you that the next time that someone in this room or someone watching online goes through a situation where they are tempted to worry, that on the inside that you'll flash lights and buzzers will go off. And they won't be worried, but they will count it all joy. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't know the answer, but I want to know the answer this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're around this auditorium and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you lift your hand? We want to pray with you this morning. Just lift your hand if you're not saved. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I need to rededicate my life to God. Man, I've been starting to do things my own way, but I want to do things God's way. If that's you, lift your hand. If that's you, I see a hand right there. Thank you. Anyone else, you say, I want to rededicate my life to God, or I don't know if I'm saved or not. Maybe you've gone to church, but you don't know whether you've been saved. You know what? You can live in a garage and not become a car. Just like you can go to church without being saved. If you've never had what my grandfather says, a no-so experience, you can today. So if you're here in this room and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to God, or maybe you don't know, lift your hand. We want to pray with you before we go today. Hello, let's all stand up. Amen. I think I saw one hand. If you'll just come down here, we want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Anybody else, if you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand for prayer, but should have, I want you to come down here. We want to pray for you.
And I surrender.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Anyone else? You should have lifted your hand. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you should have. Come down here. We want to make sure that you got what you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. How are you doing, brother? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How are you guys doing? Anybody else? Man, things have not been going good in life, and you want to rededicate your life to God today, come on down here. Join these three. Hallelujah. Amen. I have some books right here. If I was going to give you these books, how would you get the books? How would you get them? If I said, I want to give them to you. If you reach on, take it. There you go. You're going to get some books as well, all right? So don't worry about that. You know, what you came down here for is a gift from God. Whether it be salvation your first time, or whether it be rededication, they're a gift from God, and it belongs to you. Does anyone like Christmas? I like Christmas. You guys like Christmas? You know, during Christmas, we give gifts. And you know, as a kid, my favorite time was to look at my gift under the tree, and it would say, to Craig from Mom and Dad. And that gift was sitting under the tree for weeks sometimes, and I couldn't wait to open that gift. But I had to wait to Christmas Day. Well, today is your Christmas Day. You have a gift that's here for you, and it's time to open it up and let it shine in your life. Amen. So I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. And basically what you're doing, you're saying, I'm taking my gift. And I'm going to pray with you right here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every one of these fine folks, Father. Father God, we just thank you for saving them. Thank you for forgiving them their sins. Thank you, Father, for rededication, Father. We thank you that after today, they'll never be the same again. And we just thank you, Father, that you're helping them in life. You're touching their life, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Amen. Can you guys go for a few minutes with Brother Greg right here? He's going to give you some material, talk to you more, pray with you more, and make sure you got what God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, that's what it's all about. It's all about people's lives being changed, people's lives being touched. You know, so many times that we're all upset about what's going on in our lives. But man, ultimately, we need to get people saved, people on the right road again. Amen. Let's stretch your hands out toward the prayer room. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these fine folks. And we thank you, Father, for touching their life. We thank you their lives will never be the same again after today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we sing Jesus is the Answer?
And Jesus is the answer for the world.